Thanksgiving this week, and I hope that your family will be able to celebrate that holiday together, and I hope that you can also have some time individually to reflect upon all the blessings that God has given you. I want to make a quick statement I was asked to make, and I think is a good thought about next Sunday. We're going to have the opportunity to give for our special building fund contribution. And a quick update on the building out back is that the progress is moving, is picking up, and they have got most of the metal stud walls in place, and they are going to start hanging sheetrock hopefully pretty soon. And also the brick is out there, and they're going to start laying brick. Should be this week, and so a lot of things are taking place. You can see the outside and the windows and where they're going to be in the doors and all that now. And so the progress is moving along nicely. And so please keep that project in your prayers. I think with it kind of stretching out across the year here, and it's obviously a smaller project than this project when we did it a few years back, maybe we don't keep it before us enough in prayer. And so I want to ask our men who are leading prayer to try to remember that project, and all of us in our homes and in our private prayer life, please pray for the success of that project, for us paying that project off, and for the workers who are involved in that. One other thing that I want to mention before I go to our lesson, this is really a part of our lesson, and that is we did something in 2014 called We Are His Hands and His Feet, and we asked that members take these cards, and I want some of our young guys, if they would, the guys that do the cards, to help me pass these out. Eli, if you want to help, Austin, just start down the aisles. Some of you can go to the back and come up. Pass these out. Here you go, Eli. Here's some more. Just hand them down the front. Austin, you can get Landon's view there. And take one per person, for all of our members especially. And what we want you to do is, the idea is we want you to take one of these cards, which just has the information about our church family and says that we are his hands and his feet. And we've asked that people throughout this year, we did this, gave it all out as well back in January, I think. But we've asked that people throughout this year use these cards to do some kind of random act of kindness or service. And you do that act and then just use this card to give it to them. You can, for example, here at the holidays, over the next few weeks, you have a lot of opportunities. It may be sending a card to someone of thanksgiving and telling them why you appreciate them, and just drop this card in there so God gets some glory. It might be seeing at a restaurant a family eating and just decide to pay for their meal. Or it may be taking food to the widow down the street or to a shut-in. Or someone might have lost a loved one and you go over and visit them or take food. We just ask that you use this. And here's the point. I know that you're doing a lot of those things, and that's great. But so many times we would like to have some kind of way to let people know that we do these things because of Jesus. And so this is a card to allow you to do that. And it also includes our service times. Excuse me. So people can know about our church family. Now here's the thing. This lesson this morning is on Thanksgiving. And if we're really thankful, we're going to be generous in giving. And so as you think about Thanksgiving, you think about who means a lot to you, or people that maybe aren't as blessed as you, do something for them. It doesn't always have to be financial. It might just be expressing appreciation or doing a lot of people may need their leaves raked or doing something. And give them a card or leave them a card. Maybe you do it anonymously. But let God get the glory. And then if you want to, a lot of people haven't, but if you want to, we have a bulletin board filled with things that people have done this year. And there's some hands back there by the kitchen window. You just fill out a little hand and we'll put that on the bulletin board and you can see all the things that have gotten done in 2014, because we are his hands and we are his feet. Now, our lesson this morning, obviously, is around Thanksgiving. And a few years ago, I did a lesson on Jesus and Thanksgiving and what Jesus was thankful for and this morning I want us to kind of look at what his apostle, the apostle Paul, was thankful for. And we have a lot of information in Paul's epistles about why and what he was thankful. And I think, of course, Paul presents a great example for us as Christians of someone we want to be like. And he also presents someone who has the priorities that we should want to model our priority list after. And so Paul is going to give us a good example of some things that we should be thankful for. The first thing that we see Paul being thankful for was blessings. Paul realized that he had a lot of blessings. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." He says, "Through the insincerity of lies whose conscience are seared, who will forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." And what's Paul saying here? Paul's talking about, later on, he's prophesying that people are going to depart from the faith. And then a part of this departure from the faith is that they're going to want to bind laws that God did not intend to be bound. That they're going to want to restrict certain foods, and they're going to want to restrict the privilege of marriage. And Paul says they're misunderstanding that all these things that are good have a purpose to be enjoyed. And they have the opportunity for us of liberty that we have in Christ to enjoy these things. But he says, when you're enjoying them, make sure that you're grateful for them. They're created to be enjoyed. They're created to be used. But make sure that when we are using them and enjoying them and in our food, partaking of those food items, that we're grateful for that. You see, these teachers who wanted to bind these things and the false teachers who would later come misunderstand that we are to enjoy them. They're not sinful, but they should be used with thanksgiving. You know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And I hope that you'll consider some of the things that maybe we teach our children. In our Bible classes, probably even this morning, we're talking to our kids about being thankful for their food and their shelter and things like that. You know, us as adults need to pause and be thankful for those simple blessings of life. For the food we have, it's still amazing to me how many people they say are in hunger. How countless millions are dying because they do not have fresh and clean water. We participated in Walk for Water earlier this year to try to help dig wells in Africa and other places because people do not have access to clean water. How much water do we use in our showers that is fresh, good water, that we can drink of anytime we want? Those simple blessings of life. But then we can go even farther to our cars, to our home, and as Joel talked about, our facility here and the blessings we have. We have so many things to be thankful of. I read something that you've probably seen before about how the difference in third world and first world problems. This comes from a video about water, from Water is Life, and it was taken with pictures of third world people who live in very poor settings saying these things. And they said, "I hate it when my phone charger won't reach my bed. I hate it when my leather seats aren't heated. I hate it when I go to the bathroom and forget my phone. I hate it when I leave my clothes in the washer too long and they start to smell. I hate it when my house is so big I need two wireless routers. I hate it when mint gum makes my ice water taste too cold. I hate it when I have to write my maid a check and I forget her last name. I hate it when I can't walk and text at the same time. And I hate it when I leave my charger downstairs and when my neighbor blocks his Wi-Fi. And I hate it when I tell them no pickles and they still give me pickles." Now think about that. The irony of that video was, here are these people saying these things with shacks behind them. cooking over open fires in settings like what our mission team ministers to in El Salvador, with people that don't even have a place to get out of the rain. You see, we are blessed. And Paul said, don't feel guilty because you're blessed. Paul said, enjoy it. Be thankful. But as you enjoy it, be thankful. Be thankful. The next thing Paul said is he's thankful for the strength that God has given him. In 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. This term strength means that he invigorated Paul, that he gave him courage and ability to do what he needed to do. And he says, he judged me faithful. He talks about how he was a blasphemer and a persecutor, an insolent man, but he had received mercy. Remember back in 9/11 when we had those horrible attacks that September morning? And then on that same day, later on, after they'd been trying to dig for lives all day and trying to save lives, a couple firemen saw an American flag and they knew that their men needed some hope. And they went and grabbed that flag. They found a flagpole, a makeshift flagpole that they rigged up. And they ran that flag up. And a cameraman was there, a journalist. And he caught all this on camera. And it was immediately an incredible picture. And it kind of signified for our nation that though we have a tremendous sorrow, there's still hope. And that photograph, it invigorated those firemen and those rescue workers on the side. And it kind of gave them a rallying call and hope to continue their work. And it kind of invigorated our nation. It gave us strength. Well, that's what this term means. Paul says that when I was down, God gave me strength. The cross invigorates me. The cross gives me hope. It helps me to keep going. And he says, God has given me strength. And I'm thankful for it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he says in that same context, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens, same word, he strengthens me. Now he talks about in that context that I've learned to handle it when I have a lot, when I'm abounding, Paul says. And I've learned to be content when I'm in need, when I have a lot of wants. When he doesn't have his basic necessities like food and clothing and shelter. When he's in a Roman prison. He says, I've learned to be content. Now here's the thought for us. Thanksgiving is often connected with contentment. It's often connected with contentment. If we're not content, maybe it's because we do not thank God enough for our blessings. You see, Paul says, I can be content because I have been strengthened by God. God strengthens me so I can be content. Number three, Paul says, I'm thankful for the deliverance. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we desired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Paul talks about when they were in Asia and they were on a missionary journey and they were being persecuted. And he thought we were going to die. It was at a crucial time where he felt like they were going to die because of this. And he says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but upon God who raises the dead. For he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And you also must help us by prayer. Paul says, I want you to pray for us. Pray that God's blessings will fall upon us so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. You know, we have a prayer list, and we often list people who are going through some very significant health trial or other family trial. And it's interesting, when people come after they've gone through that and they say, thank you so much for your prayers. And they sing what Paul said here. Those prayers helped us get through this. And God answered them. God delivered us. God brought us through it. I know in this audience, there's many of you who've gone through trials and problems, maybe of a financial nature, maybe of a health nature, maybe of a marriage or a marriage dissolving nature, or maybe problems with your children. You've gone through trials, and people have prayed for you, and you've prayed. When you've been delivered, when you've come through the storm on the other side, stop and say, God, thanks for being with me through the storm. Thanks for bringing me through it. Thanks for what I learned in the process of it. And I know that we defeated that giant. And I know that you're going to be there with me to take on more giants. You see, Paul says, thank you, God, for the deliverance. I think sometimes we're so modern in our scientific thought that we want to give the credit to rational means so many times. And there are rational explanations. Well, we received treatment, or we did this different, we got a new job, or things like that. But folks, let's also give a spiritual answer to those deliverances as well. It's because God opened up a door, or because God providentially did something, because God healed, because God made the difference. You see, Paul was thankful for deliverance. But then number four, there's five of these. Number four, Paul was thankful for faithful brethren. Faithful brethren. And this was probably the most common one. In fact, I'm not even going to list. And I'm going to give you three scripture references from different books. But there were a lot more. But for example, in the book of Romans, Paul will say in chapter 1, verse number 8, he's going to say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. I'm thankful for all of you. In chapter 6, verse 17, he says, I'm thankful that you have obeyed from the heart. You've obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine you were delivered to. He says, I'm thankful you've obeyed. In chapter 16, he says of Priscilla and Aquila, that they risked their necks for my life. He says, and I give thanks. Because they risked their neck for my life. Paul was thankful for the brethren. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul would say in verse 15 and 16, listen to this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Colossians will say a similar thing. And then in Philippians chapter 1, and probably the greatest and longest prayer Paul wrote about a group of people, he says in verses 3 through 9, I'm not going to read it all, but the first few verses, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. You know, the greatest thing that people often say about the church is the brethren. You know, sometimes the hardest thing about the church, people say, the brethren. People getting along, working in a church family together, can sometimes be challenging. And there's sometimes personality conflicts that rub us the wrong way, or people may say things about us that hurt our feelings, or people may offend us. And sometimes we can get where we focus on the negative things, or maybe we don't feel as connected or as involved as other people. And it's easy for us to sometimes get down on the brethren. Folks, think about the Apostle Paul and how brethren would often let him down and some of the challenges he had. And he talked about how some brethren even did things to hurt him in chapter 1 of Philippians, and how they preached the gospel out of envy and strife. He talked about men like Hymenaeus and Alexander who had departed from the faith, how it hurt him. Brethren did things to hurt Paul, but the overwhelming message, in fact,
Think about these letters. Paul begins almost every letter by saying, I'm thankful for you. And let me tell you how good you are, your faith and your love. And then what does Paul do? Paul says, now I got to talk to you about this issue. And he'll write them about some problem they're having and some area they need to grow in and some sin they're dealing with. But notice what he always does. He begins by telling them how much he loves them and what he's thankful for about them. You know, we have a lot of reasons to be thankful here at Seven Oaks. For the faith, for the love of one another, for the good works that are done, for the Bible classes that are taught, the mission trips that are supported, for the facilities that are supported, for the gospel that is preached. We have a lot of reasons to be thankful for the love and the care and the family attitude and environment. We have a lot of reasons. Are you thankful for the brethren? Thankful for your church family. When Paul recounted his blessings, he said, I'm thankful, probably most of all, that I'm not walking this Christian life by myself. I'm thankful I've got fellow Christians to walk it with me. When was the last time you prayed, God, I'm thankful for my church, for my brethren. I'm thankful for my elders that watch over my soul. I'm thankful for the deacons and their service. I'm thankful for the ministers and those who work in this congregation. I'm thankful for the Bible class teacher. I'm thankful for my brethren. And then finally, Paul was thankful for the grace and salvation of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul would say this at the end of that chapter. He says, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He's thankful for the victory in 2 Corinthians. Paul would say in chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Paul says, I'm thankful for the victory that we are victorious in Christ. We have overcome sin. In 1 Timothy, I've already read how he was thankful for the grace of God and how his grace had abounded in mercy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he says, I'm thankful for the inexpressible gift. When you try to describe Jesus' death, it's really inexpressible. You can't put it in words. We do, but it still doesn't really express how much gratitude we feel in our hearts. And so we're thankful for the grace and salvation of God. Are you thankful for the grace and salvation of God? As we close our lesson, being thankful makes a tremendous difference. I want to read something about entitlement and thanksgiving, written by Jeff Jenkins. If I feel entitled, I complain about my job. If I'm thankful, I'm grateful I have a job. If I feel entitled, I complain about the meal I'm eating. If I'm thankful, I'm grateful I have food on my table. If I feel entitled, I complain about the government and how they don't do enough for me. If I'm thankful, I ask what I can do for others. If I feel entitled, I complain about my spouse and how she doesn't meet my needs. If I'm thankful, I express gratitude that someone has put up with me all these years. If I feel entitled, I complain about living paycheck to paycheck. If I'm thankful, I'm grateful that I have a paycheck. If I feel entitled, I complain about what's wrong with my church. If I'm thankful, I'm grateful I have a church family. If I feel entitled, I complain about the deficiencies of my family members. If I'm thankful, I am grateful I have a family that loves and cares for me. If I am feel entitled, I complain about the lousy weather. If I'm thankful, I'm grateful I have life and freedom. And finally, if I feel entitled, I complain to God about why He is treating me so unfairly. But if I am thankful, I know that I deserve nothing good, but all His gifts are an act of grace. As Jeff closes, he says, "Lord, forgive me for my sense of entitlement. Remind me to rejoice in all things and in all things to be thankful. Remind me to count my blessings. And remind me when my heart begins to stray from thanksgiving to entitlement." I pray that that same prayer will be upon us, that all of us can be thankful, and that we can live this week and even the next year with a spirit of thanksgiving rather than a spirit of entitlement. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, will you accept the grace and salvation of God? Will you accept it? He has offered His Son for you. Don't turn Him down anymore. Put Christ on in baptism to have your sins washed away, and leave this morning rejoicing that you've been saved. If you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.
Who at the door is standing?